I am in the home of Colleen and Bobby White. Mm-hmm. The address is 135 Major. And I want to say to both of you, thank you very much for agreeing to have a conversation with me about our neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And Bobby, you were born in 1947 in this house.
Wasn't born in this house, but that, I was born in 47 in Toronto, 1947
okay.
in Toronto,
okay.
right?
But so then you moved here in 1958, 59. Mm-hmm. So you were in elementary school at that
yeah,
time.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea why your family chose to move here?
When I think back to the time with my mom, we lived on Christie Street by Christie Pitts, and my mom had mentioned the fact that she was going to move, thinking of moving to Major Street and buying a home, right? I was excited about having a home, but not leaving where I was. Mm-hmm. I was pretty, as a kid, I was pretty happy, you know, Christie Pitts and the whole nine yards, right?
Yeah.
It was a pretty good time,
well,
right?
It's a fabulous part.
But, no, we left there, and I came with my mom bought the house here. My mom worked at DuPont and Spadina at that time. It was a power store. Now I think it's a Loblaws or No Frills or something. But it was right at I believe now it's a wine store. That's
okay. I know that place.
And that used to be a supermarket. That's where my mom worked. So
okay.
She would take the Spadina subway, Spadina bus up to DuPont, and it was easy for her, right? I just think that my mom liked the area. She liked the people that were here at that time. And
Did you make the adjustment? Because you must have been about grade six by that time.
It took as far as an adjustment period, I really stayed, being honest with you, I didn't hang around here. I went to school at Essex, which was up by Christie Pitts. Mm-hmm. And I finished my public school at Essex, and I went to Central Tech from there.
Oh boy, that was pretty convenient.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was pretty easy, a pretty easy adjustment. Those days back, what I can remember was, at that time, there was no football field there. It was there was two rows of homes, and there it was just like there was houses on each where the football field is now, right? And you could actually, there was a road that would drive right up to the front of Central Tech at that time. I remember there used to be stores at the Harbert and Bathurst on the corner there, and we'd go eat there as kids, and there was laneways where we all hung around after school and stuff like that, right?
So I didn't know that. So they tore down homes to make that big
Central
Tech.
That was a whole block of homes.
Oh,
there was homes on Bathurst.
Right.
Then there was a laneway, and then there was more homes facing Central Tech, and then there was a road. And the road would come off of Bathurst. You could drive up right to the front of the steps at Central Tech. Right.
Well, I think that whole green fields and sports center is quite fabulous, but there must have been a lot of people very upset at that time.
Well, there was a lot of
yeah.
homes there. That was all homes on both sides.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah, all these people I've spoken to and nobody talked about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's I can remember that.
Yeah. But that's really when you made your home right here, because
mm-hmm.
then you became friends with the people, more local people, I suppose.
The kids, okay, my mother was tough with me, okay, because it was she didn't want me to get into trouble, because it was easy to get into trouble. I mean, it didn't matter what age you were. She was just afraid of me getting in with the wrong crowd, right? And when I was growing up, the people that I hung around with, basically, there was some people from Christie Pitts, that I played baseball with when I was a younger kid. I still went there and played, did a lot of activity there. There was people down here that I knew. We didn't go to school together. Some of them went to Essex or King Edward. I went to Essex, and some of them went to Palmerston, and some of the girls went to the Catholic school, and I think it's Laura Loretta.
Oh, right.
Loretta.
Okay. Whatever.
So,
yeah.
So basically, we all hung around, but we all went to different schools, sort of thing, right? In the evening, that was a different story. We didn't play in the laneways. We didn't play in the front. I went to Central Tech. We hung around the front of the stairs there because that was kind of like a meeting place.
So by that time, you were in high school, Central Tech.
Mm-hmm. I was about 15.
Okay.
About 15 years old.
So Central Tech really became the hub of your life then.
Around
that
area.
You went to school there, and as you said, that's where you hung around also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There was no pool. There was no art center. When I was going to school, that big white building there, where they do all the arts and crafts or whatever it is, the pottery or all that kind of stuff, that was just being built when I was in school. Our three main meeting places were Central Tech in the evening because it was close. We used to go on Wednesday and Friday. There was at the church there on Bathurst. They had the dance on a Wednesday night. They had a dance on a Friday night, and it didn't matter where you were, for everybody would meet there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, and you would play volleyball or do stuff, and then later on in the evening they would have dances and stuff like that, right? And I was very active in sports, so I wasn't, you know, we were all over the city, so to speak, right? But as hanging around, yeah, Central Tech was a pretty normal spot. Or the odd time, we would go up to the top of the street where the gas station is here at Tino's.
Yeah.
Sunday nights was always a big night up there because...
Was that a gas station at that time?
Yes, it was,
okay.
Right? Right beside the gas station, there's a big house, and there was a black family that lived there, and every Sunday night they would sing.
Oh.
Right? They would, the brothers and sisters would all harmonize and stuff like this.
Do you know their names?
I'd be lying if I said, say something, right?
Okay.
But there was about eight or nine in the family, and they would all harmonize and sing and whatever. It was kind of neat because they were really good. No kidding. They could really sing.
So lots of people from the neighborhood would just come and hang around and
listen? I would say lots of people, but I would say some of the, if they knew you,
yeah,
you were welcome. If they didn't know you, they would be, you know, cautious, but at the same time, it was just, they would sit on outside by the fence and then in the backyards, and they would sing, right? And the families on the street, there was up the street, there was the Shepherd family, that was composed of, I think there were six girls in that family.
No sons at all?
Not that I can remember, right? Then there was Lorraine and Sharon Haight lived across the street. They grew up in here. They were here before me. Sandra Perry lived off Harvard Street by the bakery there, and we all kind of hung around a little bit as it was, right? But we would know each other. We would do things together, but we all had our own things. We didn't, you know, I was involved in sports and baseball and hockey and stuff, and Wednesday and Friday and Sundays we would meet at Central Tech and just kind of hang around, sort of thing, right?
It was pretty ethnic run though, wasn't it? Like there were certain spots that you weren't allowed to go into.
Let me just introduce, for the sake of the tape, this is Colleen, Bobby's wife,
mm-hmm,
who's sitting with us and participating.
So and learning.
Right, but please continue. I welcome what you have to say.
Just, I remember Hay talking about it and him having to protect himself if he went into another area, like St. Albans.
I remember when I was growing up, there was St. Albans Boys Club was on Albany Street, just north of the park on Barton Street. And then I spent a lot of time there. And then they went from there and they built an actual building at Vermont Park where there's a pool and a community center.
Yeah, yeah.
I opened that community center. I was one of the people that was involved with showing people around when they built that. As a kid, they did... they did a movie. There was a project that somebody put together, and they made a movie. It was called Bridge on the River Kwai, and we were all dressed up in army people and stuff like that. And I went, and I couldn't believe it. I went there about last year or the year before, and I said to my wife, "Come on, I want to show you something." It was still there, And sure enough, we looked, and there was the picture when we were kids making that movie, dressed in army and standing in the river and stuff like this. So, there was a lot of... Vermont was an area that... DuPont and Bathurst area where I hung around. I'm not going to lie to you. There was gangs, and there was different areas where you had to be careful. Mm-hmm. Kirstie Pitts, there was a lot of fights and stuff like that. If you were caught, if I was to go from this where I am now and hang around Kirstie Pitts, then I was out of my area.
So they didn't like you? Were they kind of territorial? Is that
territorial, yeah. The bottom line was there was at that time there was a lot of Italians and a lot of different people that were there. But yeah, there was a lot of... you could get into fights big time there.
So that's why your mother was concerned. She was right to be concerned.
Absolutely, right. Okay. But I was very lucky to the point where through sports, I made friends with the good and the bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I was able to walk where other people couldn't walk without having a problem, or I was accepted for what I was, right?
I guess being an athlete, a tall athlete, would have helped.
No, I did a lot of fighting, too.
Oh.
I'm not going to argue about that. My mother, many times I come home and my mother would give me shit for fighting because she would know, right? But basically, the neighborhood was really good. I can remember as a kid, on Spadina, on the roundabout there used to be an ice cream place over there. We could go for ice cream or milkshakes. I remember the horses going up to the water trough, the big tubs.
Where was that?
The trough was the water stations for the horses that I can remember. If you think of the Scott Mission on Spadina, just north of college, just as you go around the corner, that was a watering hole. The horses would go and water there and stuff like that. And you would
so you moved to this area around 58.
Mm-hmm.
So 58 and in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
that was still there. You're saying?
Oh yes. People. That's where stuff went. Horses, I mean, it sounds weird today, but to see a horse in a wagon or to see somebody on a horse or to see a policeman on a horse was no big deal. Today, I get excited. This summer, I seen two horses come down Major Street, and they went down Brunswick Street. And
You mean police sitting on
yeah,
them?
Police, uh-huh. police.
Yeah, police. Yeah,
and
yeah.
that was so neat to see those guys going through the neighborhood, which was huge, right?
Yeah, yeah. But at that time, you're saying... It was a normal occurrence.
And that's where the water was kept for horses or anybody else or animals. Anybody wanted to drink, you could go there. Right?
So the water trough was college and Spadina.
Just north of college, and it was like a big tub. It being as a big metal tub with water in it. That's what it was, right?
Where do you have any idea where the horses were kept at night? Or were they off?
I remember there was a police station on Markham Street, Markham in London, I think it's just up by Honestead's there, north of Bloor, and that was a police station. And I remember as a kid that the horses used to go down the wooden ramp into the police station there. Now it's, I believe it's used for the hospital, for the ambulance and stuff like that, whatever those EMS people, that's a location for them now. But at one time, that was a police station that everybody used.
When we think of changes that have occurred,
mm-hmm.
because you mentioned several really big changes, such as Central Tech, homes and streets and mm-hmm. lanes and all that, and then all gone. And then horses.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any global other changes that come to mind when you think of changes?
Oh, God.
Or Colleen, if you remember anything that Bobby has talked about.
In this area.
Yeah. Really, I would like pretty much to stick to this area of Harbord Village.
The market area was really good. If the people knew you.
Yeah.
And
Kensington
the Market. If the Kensington Market people knew you and you were part of the neighborhood, you could go down there and have no money and do your shopping, and it wasn't a big deal.
So what would they do? They would write it on a little piece of paper or something like that?
All I know is if I went down there, my mom sent me down there to get some vegetables or get some bread or get some eggs or whatever, and I didn't have enough money, the guy would say, "Don't worry about it, Bobby. I'll see you later," sort of thing, right? Or I'd come home and tell my mother. She said, "You spend the money, or did you give it to the guys?" "No, I give the guy what you had," right? And my mom was very funny about that. She would go down and pay him and
immediately.
Stuff.
She yeah. didn't want to owe any money.
Well, but that's his mom.
I really think that.
But what you're saying is, they trusted you, and there was a feeling of familiarity. Right. You'll come back. You're mm-hmm. good for the money.
You were part of the neighborhood.
Yeah,
I think and that's what I remember when I'm from out west. I come from a small town in Winnipeg, and we did our grocery store. Did allow you to do that, and I thought, wow, is that when he's telling me about it? I says, wow, it's just like it's just like a small town. It's not the big Toronto. It's just like a small town.
I think when I think of when I was a kid, I used to hate it, but the Jewish bakery was there, and beside the Jewish bakery was a fish market, and every Friday the big truck would come, like it was like a water tank truck, but it was full of fish.
Wow.
And they would take the fish out of the water tank and take it right into the fishery place, right? And sometimes they would drop the fish on the sidewalk or on the road or whatever, and they just pick it up and fire it in the door, just like you would see it in the down east. I mean, they would pull fish out of the water, and some would bounce on the boat, and some would be in the net, right? But I just didn't like the smell. It bothered me a lot, okay?
Yeah.
But as far as the neighborhood goes...
That's a very colorful story. Isn't that a wonderful
story? That's a fact.
I have no doubt about it, but it's wonderful.
And now it's a high-end restaurant on the corner, and if people would sit there and they had no idea in years past that was a fish market at one time, right?
Well, since you're talking about the fish market and you mentioned the bakery, and you're close between Harvard and College, but closer to Harvard, what else was happening on Harbor that you might remember?
Harbor Street, yeah. There was a pizza place. A lot of people don't realize.
Where was that?
That was over by Robert Street. I think the Paredes.
Paredes?
Right. They ran the pizza place there. Do you know the Paredes?
Mario?
Yeah.
Mario ran the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I know the family. Joey, I know I think they were there. The place where I think Atoshi has a salon
right.
now, and there's a place, it's called Charlie's, and then the salon's in the back. That used to be Cromer Radio.
Oh.
Okay, Cromer Radio moved from there, and now they're on Bathurst Street in a big building.
Yeah.
But that's where Cromer was original, and they did all the radios outside. On the side there, you pull your car up and then install your radio and stuff like this, blah, 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 blah.
So that's right? A long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I used to work at the Toronto Western a long time ago, and Cromer was already there. So you're talking about a long time ago.
Yeah, if I was to put a year on it, I couldn't, to be honest with you, right? But if you phoned Cromer and asked them when they moved from... Robert and Harvard, they'd probably let you know, but that's where they were established, right? What else? The pizza place, the Paredes were mixed up on that. If you wanted a slice of pizza, it wasn't a big deal here. Go and eat. Nah, that's just, they were Italian and they would look after you, right?
Yeah.
If you showed respect to the neighborhood, if one of the biggest things I find today, it bothers me a lot, is the graffiti in the neighborhood, the things that people are doing to people's property. When I was brought up, I was told to respect elders. I was told to respect people's property. I was told not to bring trouble home. And today it's a different situation. And I think as far as... I won't say policing the neighborhood, or I won't say, I'm saying as far as the neighbors looking after the neighborhood, you couldn't come to a better area. They clean the streets, they help each other out. if there's a problem, they're there for you. If there's families that have been established in this neighborhood for a long, long time, and if something happens, yeah, if it's a baby, it's a good thing. If it's a death, it's a bad thing.
But you're saying people are there for each other.
Absolutely.
There's a sense of neighborhood, community.
Yeah.
Is it, I assume that it's mainly but who you usually get to know are the people that you're closest with. Like I find Major Street to have a very tight community and a strong feeling of cohesion and really caring about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that I've met on Major Street, this is ours.
Yeah.
In a very positive way.
Okay, when you say that about the people, what I've heard in the back laneway when the kids are playing, it was just, God, I said to my wife, I was sitting on the back and working on my car, and just about five or six houses north of me, there were some kids playing. And there's another bunch of kids that are between six and 11 that play just down here, and there's about five or six of them. And they said, this is our laneway.
Right? Territorial. Like,
this is our laneway, right? And then I heard that, I kind of laugh when I heard it, but no, it's a fact. They're, every day they come home from school, they're out in the back and they're playing, and they're playing hockey, and they're soccer, football, whatever. And
so they're using the lane a lot, you're saying?
100%. 100%.
Not the front street. I don't see kids on the lane. Front because the cars, but the back lane.
Very few people play on the streets. I know when my grandson comes, we're out the back all the time. He's only four, but I have to play with him because he's just too little to play with the bigger guys, right?
Well, I have a grandson. I mean, I have a number of grandchildren, but one of them lives in Toronto, and he's 12. And we play in the back lane, too.
Yeah.
We play frisbee and badminton and baseball in the back lane.
Was there graffiti years ago, too, when you were...
I don't remember a lot of graffiti. I really don't.
Tagging just starting.
I learned how to play catch out the back. I would play catch with one of my friends out there. If one of the guys would come and visit me, I would say to one of the guys I played ball with, if he had trouble catching a ball or throwing, I'd come down the house and we can play catch up in the back. And we would go in the back and throw the ball back and forth. And nobody, the odd car would come down. In those days, there wasn't many cars, right?
Oh, really?
It was pretty good, right?
So there were fewer cars also.
Well, to interrupt your playing time, that's for sure, right?
Yeah.
Right? But as far as... as far as the neighborhood, I'm just trying to think. No,
so let me stay with the back lanes for a minute. So you're saying you played in the back lanes and the kids are still doing it now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you use the back lanes for anything else?
Washing my car. I washed my car out the back.
Was there any dances or anything?
For walking from one place to another, did you stick to the sidewalks or did you go through the back lanes?
We always use the laneways, always.
Really?
I think more people use the laneways than they do the front because it's easier, it's well lit, it's paved.
Was it paved when you were a child?
Yeah.
Because some were semi-paved or just hard
half
mud.
And half,
but yours was paved.
But no, even to this day, we go out the back and we go out to Metro and we do our shop and we come in the back and sometimes people don't know whether you're home or you're not home because you just don't go to the front of the house, right?
So the back lane has been and continues to be an important
A lot of bicycle riders.
Yeah, a lot of bike riders use it. Yeah. My wife, she walks in the morning and they walk, they use the laneways when they go different places. And if it's garbage day, rather than walk down the street with all the garbage cans out, they use the back alleys so they don't have to.
Smell.
No, it doesn't. It's just,
well,
it's not in the way.
Summer it smells.
Right?
Yeah. But so we use the back alleys a lot.
I'm just trying to think now what was on Harvard Street when I know there was Cromer, there was Peretta's Pizza. The bakery was always there. I mean, I can remember my mother fighting with Goldie. Goldie was there was a Jewish family that still runs it, right? And she would mix the old bagels in with the new bagels, right? And my mother would go up and fight like hell with her because the bagels were old. I'm just kind of thinking now, right?
Oh, that's a good story.
Are you sure you want to put that?
It's in there. It's in there. But it's fabulous.
But basically, no. I mean, as far as myself, I mean, I was involved in sports quite a bit. A lot of the sports was at Christie Pitts. I think hanging around Christie Pitts, not getting away from the neighborhood, but we would skate at Christie Pitts in the winter. In the wintertime, we'd skate at Christie Pitts on the outdoor ponds. And when we were involved with our other friends, we would go down to Dundas and Bathurst, which was, what's the name of the park at Dundas and Bathurst now? It's, oh man.
I know the park that you mean.
There's a big rink there, down by McDonald's. There's a hockey rink there and whatever. Yeah. Alexander Park.
Okay. So let me come back to this neighborhood. When you moved in here with your mother, was it just the two of you, or were there any other people?
Well, my mom and dad at the time were separated, okay? And it was my mom and I that lived here, okay? And
but did you have any tenants, anybody else, or was it the two of you?
No, it was just one floor in this house.
Oh, of course.
Yes. This was this all there was in this house was.
So, are you adjacent to Gus?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't connect that. Okay, because I know that Gus also added it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
see if you look here. There's no other level, right?
Right. Okay.
That picture's old, by the way.
Sure. Okay, but of course, because when I've spoken to other people, if there was another floor, they might have another seven people up there. But here you had one floor.
One floor. This was the bedroom for my mom. That was the kitchen.
Right. And your bedroom?
The bedroom was at the very front. There was where you came through the door, there was a hallway.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was my bedroom, a bathroom that was maybe wasn't very big, but enough for... The bathroom was as big as a bathtub, actually.
This way, yeah.
The tub was the bathtub was this way, and that's how wide that bath. There was a bathtub, and beside the bathtub there was a toilet, and I don't think it was 4 feet wide, or whatever the width, the length of a bathtub. That was the bathroom, right? And then there was the living room and the kitchen. So there was the bedroom, kitchen, a living room, which is very small, just a couch and a chair and a TV, and then the bathroom and in my room.
Oh, so these places were seriously tiny.
Tiny.
Big and both you and Gus did the same thing and made it a garden.
We had to keep the front because it's over 100 years old. In fact, all of these houses in the street have
historical
heritage safe.
Yeah.
So we didn't touch as far as tear down anything at the front.
Yeah.
That had to remain the same. The only thing we did was stucco it. And even if you're at the front, you still can't see the back part, the second floor, because the ceiling was 10-foot ceilings there, and the front is still looks exactly the same. You don't see it. We were in the attic where we built our second floor there.
Well, I'm glad that they have that law, because some people would really like to do major changes. I think it keeps the character of the neighborhood.
Right, and they keep them up pretty good.
I think the city is, Gus, I had a conversation with Gus at one time, and I think it's good. I had a hard time when it was building here, which was okay, and I think that anybody that comes in the neighborhood that has an older home or has a home, I think that they should be, this is a beautiful street. Absolutely, with the trees hanging down and the old homes and just the area itself, I think it's well spoken to the neighborhood that they want to try and keep it as original as possible.
Yeah.
And for somebody to come in and build a three-story home that looks like a rocket ship or something, that's not what this neighborhood is about. It's really not. Go ahead.
No, because I was going to say there is a survey that goes around. Anytime you want to renovate, there's a survey that the street has to say, okay, we're going to build this. We're putting the application in to the to have this renovation done.
The neighbors can stop you from building.
Yeah, they can.
If you were next door to me and I didn't like what you're doing, then I would say, no, I'm opposed. I don't want this done. Yeah. The restaurants
you can't block anybody's view.
The restaurants that are on the corner, they have to apply for seating on the street.
Yeah. So they're protecting it. Protecting the beauty and the charm. Yeah. The
beauty,
charm.
Not so much that. If you, okay, Eleanor, if you lived across from, if you go to the top of the street and there's a restaurant there with an outside patio, okay? Now, if you lived right across the street and that's a business and these people had every night, there's people eating, serving, talking, music, loud, that's a problem. Yeah.
Well, I lived south of Paredes, which is now Macy's.
Okay.
And now I live south of Boulevard Cafe.
So you're not
And I know it. That noise. I know that noise, yes.
So, I mean, there is a neighborhood watch and a neighborhood protection, and there's bylaws, which is, I think, every neighbor should have, right? Which is only well, right?
You want to protect what's good.
What did it used to be? It used to be more Portuguese in this area? I think Rose was... Well, Rose would know more about that.
The south of us, south of Ulster, was predominantly Jewish. Mm-hmm. There was on the east side, the big homes were there. Where the hospital is now, they were all large homes. And that was all Jewish. Mm-hmm. All Jewish. For the longest of the neighborhood consisted of Jewish and Portuguese. That's what it was.
When you moved in here. Right. And what have the changes been since you're here? I've been here a long time. How many years is it that you're here? 58?
We've lived here, what now?
Yeah,
15 years since the renovation, but I was here since I was like 13, eh? What are the changes? I would think that that used to be a hospital at one time down there. And it was torn down, and it was made into...
So first there were large homes, you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, I'm wrong.
Okay.
There was a hospital.
Yeah.
Doctor's Hospital on Brunswick, and it came on to the other side of Major. North, on the north part of the street, as you come up the street, there was large homes, and they were all... That was all predominantly Jewish people that lived in those places. And what they did, they ripped... The hospital down, and they ripped down the homes, and they put in the
nursing home.
Kensington.
Nursing home. That's right. The nursing home replaced the hospital, and most of the homes that were there were owned by Jewish people, Jewish families.
It was left vacant for quite a while, quite a few years. Now we don't know exactly why. Whether there was some insurance problem, I don't know if it was fire there, or what caused it, but there was a delay. There was many, many years. There was just the ghost home just sitting there.
All boarded up. And they might have been opposed to the hospital building and ripping down the homes at that time. I wasn't too sure, but they were empty for a long time, right?
So you're saying it was that part, south of Ulster, was predominantly Jewish, and then you're calling you at Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
How has that changed in terms of ethnic groups and racial groups? And
I really think that when I was a kid, I was lucky enough that I went to the Jewish Y at Blue and Spadina, and I spent some time there. But the Jewish, I don't know how to say this properly, but as far as the Jewish people went, they really stuck to themselves. They really, they didn't let too many outsiders in because that's just the way they were brought up. I mean, there was nothing wrong with the way they were doing things, but that was their area.
That's how they lived at that time.
That's how they lived, and they stayed to themselves sort of thing. And
so you weren't welcome.
I was lucky enough because I knew a few of them, right?
Sports, again. He played
through sports and stuff, right? But at the same token, I guess that they were very family oriented. And if you weren't, if you weren't Jewish, it was a hard time to be accepted. Okay, if you were a friend, right? Even as a friend, there were certain times where you just. You couldn't go there because of their certain faith or things that they did, right? They practiced their own religion, their own faith, and they brought up their families the way they thought they should be brought up, right? And, that's what I... As far as that end of it goes, that was okay. I mean, I was really lucky to the point where I was able to associate with everybody. Like I told you in the beginning, the good and the bad, right?
And that you could fight when you had to.
yes.
But you said you went to the... It was called the YM... HA at the time, or YMCA. Yeah. YMH. But you did some activities there?
Yeah, I played floor hockey up there with a couple of Jewish friends that I met, and there was a couple of guys in the neighborhood, Dale Ford. He originally was there, and there was McDougal's. We would go up there. So these were different people from around the area. We would all go there on a Sunday morning, and we'd use the gym, and we could run upstairs, and that's the old place, right?
Did you have to join to do that? Were you a member?
Again, it was we were brought there to play, mm-hmm. To use the gym. We played floor hockey in the gym, okay? Yeah, yeah. And if you were good, yeah, they wanted you. Yeah, there's no two ways about that, right? And once you're accepted, by somebody in the neighborhood, you're okay. You're fine.
So that was another place for sports for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You were really quite an athlete, obviously.
Had a bit of fun. I had good times and bad times, for sure, right?
Yeah. What about languages? In the neighborhood,
language was everybody spoke English around me. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter whether you were Italian, Portuguese, Jewish, or whatever. We were there for our friendships. We weren't there for the religions or the language, right? And that was never a problem, right?
Earlier on, you mentioned something, and I want to come back to it. And the issue of dating, you talked about dances, you went to dances, mm-hmm. at Central Tech. Could you talk about dating, what it was like in the 50s and 60s in this neighborhood?
In this neighborhood, there were good times. You didn't need a car, okay, because everything was close. Everybody would seem to congregate. The two main places for people to hang around were the Catholic Church on Bathurst Street on Saturdays, or on Fridays or Saturdays. They would have it was all Catholic now, okay? That was a Catholic dance. And we always would go to the United Church there on Wednesday and Fridays, and they would have activity, and then they'd have a dance later on, eh? That was a mixture of black and white. And Italians, not too many Jewish guys, but it was that. And I remember going to up to St. Peter's Church, and they had the dance there. There was people there we knew.
Wait,
right?
Where's St. Peter's Church?
It was across from the subway station at Bloor and Bathurst, the big church.
Okay, got it. Thank
okay,
you.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And I remember going there one night, and I had to meet some people, but they were already inside the church, right? And you had to be Catholic. If you weren't Catholic, you weren't allowed in the church. That was the rule, right? So I remember walking down to the hall where the dance was, and just my luck, the priest said, he says, I've never seen you before. I said, oh, it's okay, Father. I said, I just come here every now and again. And he says, are you Catholic? I said, oh, yeah, Father, I'm Catholic, right? Oh, he says, you're Catholic. He says, can you say the rosary for me? And I said, no, Father, I can't. Oh, my God, he says. He says, okay. He says, what's your name again? I said, Bobby White. And he says, you know you have to be Catholic to be here. But I'm just here to see my friends, and I'm going to leave, right? That was just one of the things that I can tell you that happened to me as a kid up there. As far as the United Church goes,
That's a delightful story.
Yes, I'm hearing
stuff. That's a fact, right?
And so they really wanted only Catholic people. And the United Church, what about them?
That was pretty wide open. That was the music at that time was in the 60s, and it was like the music was really huge at that time for dancing. It was rhythm and blues and pop music and like Motown from Detroit and stuff like that. One of the things where we got into trouble was Honest Ed's had a dance marathon at Honest Ed's.
Uh-huh.
And it was a marathon where you just had to dance until you dropped, and that's what it was, eh? So we didn't go to school on Friday, and we were all trying to stay as long as we could dancing at Dishonest Ed's. And that just came into my head now because I can't remember why, but I know it was a dance marathon. I know the Honest Ed's held it, and it was outside, the music was playing.
And you would have been, what, 15 or something like that?
I was about 15 or 16 at the time.
How long did you dance?
We went for, oh God, I went for just the one day because I had to be home. My mother would just give me shit if I wasn't home, right? But there was Kelly was a black guy that I know, he friend of mine, and he hung in there for 3 days dancing, right?
You never slept?
No, just 3 days.
And you danced for a whole day?
Yeah, yeah. They were good times because everybody would come and watch. People knew and stuff like that. You know, it was a lot of good times, yeah. Right?
But even at 15, I would think your legs would have been pretty sore after.
We had a lot of fun, a lot of fun. You don't feel nothing when you're young, right?
Just kind of hold on to each other.
Yeah, that's it, right? And there was Chubby Checker and the Twist. And
did they supply food and or any drinks, I guess? They would have?
I can't remember at the time, right? I really can't, right?
And was there any individual dating? Or did everybody do everything as a group?
I think there were some people that would be going with other girls that were going steady sort of thing, but we moved as a group. It didn't matter whether you're going with somebody or not sort of thing. We just went as a group sort of thing because we all hung around, right? Yeah. But yeah, everybody had their likes and dislikes and stuff like that. And to get away from the neighborhood, we graduated from, as we got older, we went from our neighborhood and we ended up going to the Village on Avenue Road because that's where all the clubs were. And at 16 and 17 and 18 years old, and that's where all the big bands were playing live at night, and they had all the dances. And
yeah, so it sounds as if dancing and good music were a very important part of your dating.
I can honestly tell you that the church on Bathurst Street, it was called High C. That was one of the strong points for the neighborhood.
Which church is that?
That's the United Church, right on. I think it's the United Church, right?
Bathurst, south of Bloor.
It's just south of Bloor, right by the.
It's a theater now. It says a theater something on it.
That's where they have all the shows in the theaters now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. I needed that.
Yeah. Okay. That's downstairs is where they had all the dances and stuff, and you had to pay your 25 cents to get in and go down and do it, but. You weren't allowed to fight. You weren't allowed to, if you fought or something, the fighting and the drinking you couldn't do, you had to leave.
Did they have alcohol?
We had our own beer and we had our,
But they watched over and to make sure they stayed controlled,
nothing.
I mean.
No, they had no idea what we had. Right.
Oh, so they didn't serve alcohol.
No, they didn't know. There was no serving of alcohol, but we had our own.
Right, but if you got into a fight, you were out.
Oh, no, you couldn't. Yeah. They didn't watch
it. So that, in that respect, they kept control.
It was really good. I mean, the people, there was some, it would get heated sometimes, but at the same token, it's a case of, if you wanted to be around there, then you had to watch your P's and Q's, for sure.
You mentioned that, Colleen, you said when you first came here, it was hard for you, the maze of streets. Do you remember when Matt came in? Before that, the streets were...
It used to be straight from here. You could go right from Harvard right down to college at one time, right?
From Bloor to college.
It was a straight shot all the way down, right?
What was it like? What do you recall about that? Problems? Or what, did you never think that?
No, to be honest, I just didn't understand. I was so used to the neighborhood the way it was. And I wasn't one for change.
Yeah.
Right? And they did it, and you just have to go with the flow sort of thing, right? The people would moan and groan or bitch about it, but at the same token, it was good for the neighborhood, right?
Well, I guess it really did slow down people racing from Bloor to college.
Yeah, because a lot of traffic, people trying to get right across.
You talked about that black family and that beautiful music, and you would hang around there. You also said the lanes were very important. You hung out there, you played there, you socialized there. Mm-hmm. What about front porches? In your recollection? And sidewalks?
At the front of the house, I can remember there's a Portuguese family across the street. Their kids, that's what, in the summertime, they would sit on the verandas and on the porches. And the kids would play hide and go seek and hide behind the cars and hide in between the houses. I wasn't one. The odd time I would sit out with my mom out the front or whatever, or we had our own spots. Central Tech was the place to be, sort of thing, right?
So maybe it was more maybe it was the immigrants, the Portuguese, who sat out on the front porches more.
I think a lot.
Now
a lot,
that's the way it is, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of the people sat up front because they were neighbors, and there was no air conditioning, and it was a nice, cool night.
Yeah.
Everybody would sit at the front, and you would socialize. I remember a quick story. We were playing baseball, and we went to Manassas, Virginia, for a world championship, and I looked at the news, and Toronto was blacked out, completely blacked out. There was a power failure. What was that? Maybe 8 years ago?
Oh, that was just recently. Yeah,
I remember that.
But 8 years, yeah. I'm just saying, yeah. Right? Yeah. And my son was still here at the time, right? When the power went out, now this is not 8 years ago, all the people that had meat in their fridges,
oh, yeah.
Right? They were barbecuing. They were eating. Everybody was on the street drinking, yeah. Sitting, yeah. And eating and having with candles and having a good time. So a major power outage didn't stop the neighborhood from just going on and having
brought everybody
together, yeah. And they had a really good time.
So that turned out to be a positive experience, yeah. as far as that goes.
Always. Yeah. Always. The neighborhood always. This is one good thing about Major Street, and always will be, no matter who you are or where you are. When something happens, there still will be people there to help you. There will be people there to
tell you you're doing wrong too, which is fine.
Right or wrong, if there was a death in the family, it was felt from one end of the street to the other because it was a loss. It was,
well, what a beautiful thing, this sense of belonging.
Absolutely.
It's like an extended family in that.
Small town feeling. Yeah.
My grandson is 4.
Uh-huh.
My wife and I, we can walk up the street with him, and everybody knows him. He could go out the front door, yeah. And go up the street, and he'd be in so much trouble so quick because people would just go. They know him. They go to him right away, right? And that's never going to change. I don't think. I really don't think that is ever going to change, right? So, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that's because Bob's quite. He's quite open with all. He's very. He is very, he knows all the neighbors. He's very much out there and very much, hello, how are you? Can I help you with anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not used to that. I can sit in the back and read my book and stuff. But no, and everyone knows him. Little kids will come out. That's Bobby's house. That's Bobby's house.
That's a fact.
So one fellow said he should have been the mayor of Major Street.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, if you live in the neighborhood, you must feel warmth, you must feel the love, you must feel at any time, there's no, whether you're Portuguese, Canadian, Italian, Jewish, whatever nationality you are, if you live here, you're welcome here.
Yeah.
You're part of the neighborhood. And I don't know if I'm telling you what I know, it's a fact, right? So you can have your disagreements and you can have your positive and negatives about different things, but and the bottom line is everybody's going to pull together. Everybody.
And I see a lot of older people living and their families staying there. So it's passed down to generations.
It's turning over.
The houses are passed down to generations. Because, for one thing, nobody wants to leave because they can never get back in because of the cost. So there's a lot, 2 generations maybe, probably 2 at the most maybe, I guess, 2 or 3 generations in the same house that they've lived. You know, renovated a bit, but
I can remember when I was a kid growing here, there was a Ukrainian lady that lived next door where Gus was, and she would always be cooking cabbage, and you could smell it. And
cabbage doesn't smell good when it's cooking.
No. And I can remember the lady and she had the old white dress on from head to tail, very European, and I always argued with her. She would never throw the ball back over the fence if it went there, right? And every chance I get, I'd always put the hose on her if I could.
It was just as bad.
Right? Yeah. My mother said, Bobby, did you do this? Yeah, I did this. Right? Why'd you do this? Because she'd never give us our balls back, right?
So she was kind of mean.
Well, she still spoke Polish. She didn't speak very good English. She lived in squalor. They found out when Gus moved in, he could probably tell you, that the house was, it was just falling apart. She lived in her own, like, I don't think excrement, but, you know.
Pretty close
was,
to that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And she put newspapers, you know, to stuff the holes in the wall and stuff like that. And it was.
So he had a huge job.
Cockroaches. And, yeah, my mother-in-law had a hard time keeping the cockroaches over.
Of course. Oh, that must have been very unpleasant for your family, for you and your mother.
And then she ended up dying there, and they found her 3 days later.
And then Gus bought this place that was in horrific condition.
Yeah.
He fixed it up pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I've been there a number of times.
Good effort.
And he did this house.
He was the one that, my wife and I, we
did a lot of demolition ourselves.
We did it all, but we pretty much told Gus what we wanted to do here, right?
And, so your mother, and it was when your mother died that you had to decide whether you were going to come and...
Yeah. Originally, we lived in King City, and my wife didn't want to leave King City. The city was one thing, but at the same token, I said to her, you know, it's, King City was a part of her life that was a good time. My son was young, he was growing up, and basically the decision was, I said to her, we thought about it, and I said, geez, you know, if you come down here, you know, you're working, you can take the streetcar, the hospitals are close, there's going to be a time in our life when we're going to retire, and we can walk to wherever we want to go, and we don't have to worry about stuff. And I'm really glad that, I was able to keep up the white name on the street, and B, be a part of the neighborhood, right? And it's kind of neat, because
you're a big part of the neighborhood.
There is a lot of people that are just, one thing about it, they're there, they don't need a lot of attention. They don't need to make a big thing out of something. They're already part of the neighborhood, so everybody is just themselves, and they go about their own business, right?
Yeah.
It's a big family, it really is, right?
Lovely. What a way to describe it.
Yeah, well, you know, if you talk about the fish and chip place that's at Harbor Street by the laneway there, we'll phone those people up, and they always ask about my son. I'll phone up and I'll say, geez, you know, I'll say to my wife, we're going to have, you feel like fish and chips? Let's split on a fish and chip, right? And she'll phone up and say, oh, give me one fish and chip for Bobby. They don't ask for money. They don't say whatever. She'll just say Bobby on the phone, and just go up and we'll get the fish and chips. Yeah. Not too many places you can do that,
we
right?
We pay for it.
We pay for it, but I'm just saying, it's just that once they know you, right? It's pretty neat.
Give you a little extra, a little here, take
a
this,
few extra
take
chips.
This.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Used to go to Momo's and have Momo's is across from Atoshi's there, and I remember one day Bobby says, "You know, you don't come and have lunch here no more." I says, "Well, come on." I said, I went there, last time we were there, I said, we ate, and there was just fish and chips and a little bit of salad.
What?
Yeah, so the next time we went there, the salad was up to here, the fish and chips, the chips were falling off the plate.
That's
right?
At Momo's, you're
Momo's,
saying?
Momo's, yeah.
Have you tasted their carrot cake?
Oh, yeah. We've been there a lot,
it's
right?
It's a killer carrot cake.
Yeah, I like the soups as well.
Lentil soup.
They're super people. They really
the
are. Right?
Was Momo's there when you were growing up? Was it called Momo's?
Momo's has only been there for maybe 15 years
No. I forget what that was before that, right?
Yeah. I don't even know if there was a restaurant
there. There was apartments there, I think.
When I was living on Robert Street, they sent a petition around or a question. Yeah. Would you mind having this? Mm-hmm. So I think it was the apartments, and he made it into a restaurant. Yeah, and I think he bought the building and slowly has been bringing
He's a great guy. Super guy.
Mohammed.
Mohammed.
Yeah.
Great
guy. Boy, you have some fabulous stories.
Well, you asked me, you know. There's some I can't tell you, that's for sure, right?
After the tape? Sometimes people say, is the tape still on?
Okay.
garbage collection? Do you have any recollections about that?
No. Basically, it was No, just...
Yeah, okay, so no...
There was no recycle at that time. Yeah, it was right. Everything in the one bag,
you
right?
just put it out front
just
and then
put it
the
out front and they would come and get it, right?
Once a week, do you think?
I can't remember now, to be honest with you, yeah. right?
What about animals? Did people have house pets? Did you?
My mom always had two dogs. My mom's... If you were to walk in this neighborhood and say, Mickey... Not Mickey White, just say Mickey, that they would know my mom instantly. Okay? My mom was very prominent in this neighborhood. She always had two dogs, always. Animals, didn't matter if you had dogs, cats, or whatever. It wasn't a big deal.
Did
right?
other families have animals? Not too many? What?
I know my mom had animals quite a bit, and you know what? If there was dogs in the neighborhood or cats or whatever, people never bothered. They never, you know, it was never a big deal, right?
There were probably no leash laws a long time ago.
Probably, but...
But the animals were not a problem on the street
no,
then.
No, my mom used to, you know, I never thought it was a problem, mm-hmm. for sure, right?
Well, then you would have known if it was a problem, it would have come to your attention.
Yeah.
You talked about the stores on Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any memory of the stores on either College or Bloor Street?
There used to be stores here. There was a house across the street by the laneway. That was a store. The house
on Major?
On Major, yeah. There was the house right on the corner of Ulster, that corner lot with the fence.
Yeah.
That was a store.
And what kind of stores
were there? Just a convenience store. Yeah. You would get candies and stuff as a kid, I remember, right? And bread and milk, and it was you know, just like your normal, your Mac store sort of thing, but it was more down earth, eh?
So there were several of them scattered around from what
Shoemaker,
you said.
Shoemaker store was down the street. There was a...
Down the street on Major?
On Major. The Shoemaker was where the Italians are. You know the old Italian guys?
But it was it used to be a
shoemaking store. You're going to get your shoes done or whatever, right? The other shoemaker store that I can remember was at Brunswick and what's the street that goes this way? The one above Major above
Sussex?
Harvard.
Sussex?
No, Sussex is
okay. Look, above Harvard.
Above there's Harvard, and then you go up one street. Yeah, Sussex, I guess, right? That one that used to be a shoemaker. Break by that. The Jewish synagogue, there's a Jewish church there, right, that's down there. It's just up the street. That used to be...
There's a synagogue on Brunswick, mm-hmm. just north of Harvard.
Okay, so...
That's still there.
Still there. So now, if you go over to Major Street, that's mm-hmm. where the shoemaker...
So there's two shoemakers around.
Yeah. I can remember the guy would... The knife-sharpening guy would walk down the street and ring the bell, and you go out and get whatever you wanted sharpened and stuff like that, right?
They still come down. I have heard in the van. I have heard him...
The bell.
I wonder if people use him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Lawnmowers, clippers. Yeah, they'll all use it, right? I'm just trying to think of something different in the neighborhood that was kind of unique.
Huh. Let me ask you a bit. We talked about lanes,
uh-huh.
but what about right behind the homes, whether there were, if there was a patch of grass or something, what did people use? Like you say, you're happy to set out, Colleen, sit inside and back and read. But as you were growing up, Bobby, were there gardens, vegetables, fruit, people using the backs?
No, because we had the market.
Uh-huh. So right. so was not necessary to grow.
No, if you wanted something, you would always go down to Kensington.
Yeah.
You want bread, vegetables, meat, eggs, whatever you want. It was just walk down the street.
So a lot of people use the market a lot.
100%.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Do you use it at all now?
we use it. We don't use it. I favor the St. Lawrence market.
Oh, I like
a lot because it's the best market in the world as far as I'm concerned, okay? But
you know what it did? It just won some award.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it won, the best market.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, whoa, wow.
The Kensington market is it's changed quite a bit, right? But I just feel like it's... there's no difference, really. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what you want to do. As far as shopping for us... we'll go down to Chinatown now because it's cheaper to shop on Chinatown than it is in
Spadina. You mean
on Spadina? Right. Talking about price wise, we're lucky because we have Kensington, we have Chinatown, we have St. Lawrence. right? And it's hard to compete. It's hard to beat those places, especially when you know the people. If you know the people that are there,
it's hard to beat Chinatown. They've got the
The prices are really good,
And the produce is good. They make sure the produce is good to look at. Yeah.
But the Kensington's market is not necessarily inexpensive.
Inexpensive? No.
No.
It's comparable to probably a store.
Yeah.
But you can get almost half price Chinatown.
Well, that's good to know. Thank
you. I can remember. I would think the police station on London Street at Markham there, I can remember that. I can remember Honest Ed's in this neighborhood was huge. That Honest Ed would, people would flock there. He would do different things. He would have entertainers there. He would do all kinds of different things for the neighborhood.
Christmas.
The turkeys,
and the fruitcakes.
And people are lined up early. Yeah.
So it's just a case that there is landmarks around this neighborhood, Central Tech. I mean, if you think of this neighborhood off of Major, you've got Central Tech, you've got Harvard Collegiate, you've got Central Commerce, you got Christie Pitch, you've got all the public schools that are around, all the main churches that are in this neighborhood, the different religions can practice.
What about the university? Its effect on our neighborhood?
I remember my mother having a conversation saying that she was terrified that when the university got as far as Spadina, okay, and I really believe the stumbling block for the university was there's a big church that's right across the street there, and I think they wanted to really expand as much as they could at one time. And if I remember correctly, I remember my mom saying that it's good to have education, it's good to have all the different things around you, but this is her neighborhood.
Wow.
And she didn't want people selling their homes. She was a believer in education, but she was always very strong about her neighborhood. And don't forget, I mean, if you think of the university, how the library's gone up, the big university, the pool's gone there. I can't remember what was there, but there must have been, had to be homes there.
But your mother felt that they were encroaching on our neighborhood, but they wouldn't take the church away, so the church was protective.
She was always scared that the university would spread this way.
It still wants to. If you ever talk to Mary next door, she'll tell you some stories. We actually go for a walk for her in the morning, and she's saying the U of T still wants to try. Is trying to buy up land here.
But your mother sensed it.
Yeah.
She was right.
She was strong about that.
But she was right on target. She's right. Mm-hmm. But she felt that they wouldn't bully the church or push the church around, so the church was good. It's good that we have it on our side.
Well, it's good that it was in that location, because I think if you look across the street, there's a big Olympic pool in the building, and that's the university, and that's the gym and stuff, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's one thing I did remember about my mom. She'd say, Bobby, I don't want those people to come. It's going to stop at Spadina. That's where I think I'd like them to stop, and they're not coming over this way. And
well, somebody did say to me,
really?
The U of T is a bully, and that they would try to. And you said you and Mary
still
have talked about it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're still trying to buy up land.
I got news for you. They can be as big a bully as they want, right?
They got the money too. Yeah, they would have
the biggest fight on their hands.
Yeah. Well, the Residents Association will protect us as much
that's
as we can.
Never.
Right.
I can't foresee that happening.
Right. Yeah.
Can you imagine that ever happening in this neighborhood?
Well, it would certainly change our
neighborhood. In the annex?
Not for the better.
No.
These would all be probably student residences. Like, it would be build high-rises. They just completely take this and build all high-rises.
We would lose what we have, which we all love so much.
One thing that sticks in my head, and I said to my wife for the longest of times, we used to walk up the laneway to go to Dominion, now it's Metro, and there was two little houses by the Jewish Y. I don't know if you remember. The Jewish Y is here, and there was two old houses that were there.
Very nice looking houses.
They ripped those houses down, and they built up those big monstrous condos or whatever they are.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I can't believe they're gonna, and look what they built.
Gone. I do remember those places.
You do?
They had a lot of. beauty, a lot of character.
Yeah. It's amazing, but I mean, that's just time and change.
That was the last 15 years.
No,
I mean, I'm thankful for, I'm thankful that we're in the neighborhood. We couldn't be in a safer place. We could not be in a more family-oriented place. And we could not be in a place where everybody would love to come and live. Because it is a very, very special area. Yeah. Big time.
Oh, boy, I agree with you.
I think the Harbor Village has really, because they have an Ulster, they have the fairs.
Yeah.
The different fairs that go on at the different parks. Mm-hmm. And that's all the HV, you know, and how they bring the community together. It's amazing. Yeah. It's just, I get so excited being here.
You should talk to some of the people and see if they've got old photographs of Central Tech when there was homes there. You'd be surprised. Yeah. Somebody's got them. Somebody must have them.
Well, I'm just beginning. It's new that I'm bringing my camera. Mm-hmm. And if you'll allow me to, I'll take a picture of you. But also beginning to take pictures of pictures. Mm-hmm. Because, as we agreed, I'm not taking anything away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But just to begin to have some collection of this. Because it's our neighborhood as it's changed. And that change, I think, was fine. I'm sure it was very painful for people to have their houses ripped away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have that green and be able to use it.
It'd be interesting if you talk to people and see if they remember what Central Tech was like before the football field. You'd be surprised, right?
Yeah. Do you have any feelings about Rochdale and its impact on this neighborhood? Right now, I think it's nothing, but
in the past, that was all hippie stuff, I think. I can remember where... there was one year where somebody jumped from there and they killed themselves, right? You're talking Rochdale was at the St. George and Bloor, right?
Yeah.
And lots of drugs. That monument where that thinker was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I remembered like somebody, I mean, they said they were on drugs or they did something and they jumped on it. But I remember the police were going to go in there and clean everybody out and they were going to do all kinds of things. But... you know, Rochdale was Rochdale. I mean, that was just part of the time sort of thing, right? You know, people, different... I was old school. I mean, you mind your own business, okay, and you would, you wouldn't get into trouble, right? And, I mean, I was only there once, I think, in that complex, right? And to me, they were just hippie people. That's all it was.
Yeah, they were.
That's all. Was that what you've been told, or is that what you remember?
Drugs. They were selling drugs there.
Yeah, I think that
walk through the hall and you could smell it, and it was like a. That's what I'd heard when I came in the 70s.
But I mean, that was.
So you're not part of it. You were never upset about it, and
absolutely
that was just the times.
That's just a different time in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah. Well, let me say to both of you, this has been a delight. I mean, your descriptions, I can picture these things.
Really?
Just absolutely wonderful stories. Wow. And I think, Colleen, you learned some stories that you haven't heard before.
Absolutely, I do.
Right?
Sure.
When you knew that I was coming, and you didn't know what I was going to ask about, but I'm talking about what it was like and the changes that have occurred. Is there anything that either of you can think of right now that we haven't talked about? And including since you've been here, or you visited your mother-in-law those years, anything that we haven't talked about?
What we haven't talked about?
Maybe we've covered it all.
I think basically you've got
everything.
But
the sense of community was years ago when you were growing up as strong as it is now.
I think the community is. The area that we live in now is stronger and better. I think through the people that live in this, lawyers and doctors and all the different people that are a part of this neighborhood, if there's a legal issue brought up, I think that it's dealt with. And before, in the years past, I don't think that was... Never, like you couldn't be bullied or you couldn't be stepped on or you couldn't be pushed aside. I think today the people are very knowledgeable of the laws. They're very knowledgeable of people's sure properties. Is. They're very knowledgeable of the neighborhood. You got to pay. The taxes are high for what you pay for your education, your hospital, the road service, the garbage, the police, the ambulance, all those things. They've expanded. The biggest change that I could probably think of would be the subway wasn't there. It was the streetcars used to go up Christie Street and turn around by, they would turn around at right at DuPont and Christie. There was a loop there and they would come back down and the Weston Christie's Bakery was up there. Everybody used to go to the bakery up there, right? So as far as, I just think the neighborhood's changing with the times. And they're not old school. They respect the way people did things in the past. And as the present goes on,
That's important. Respecting mm-hmm. the
respecting
past.
The past.
Everybody is very on board. If you have an idea that's going to improve the neighborhood, if you have an idea that's going to make somebody's life a little bit easier, yeah, it will get done. It may take a bit of time. But people have power.
But you know, it's a pleasure for me to hear this because people often like to think about the good old days and how it's not nearly as good as it used to be. And that's not your impression.
I'll tell you a quick story. I had knee surgery last year. And the doctor said to me, Bobby, get your leg as strong as you can. I hadn't skated in maybe 30 years. I hadn't skated at Christie Pitts in over 40 years, maybe longer. And I would go there in the morning and skate at the rink, mm-hmm. right? And I remember the guy that was inside there that was looking after the rink, he says, well, there's no hockey today, right? I said, I'm the only one here. I said, the only reason I got the stick is I want to keep my balance, right? And he says, oh, it's okay, Bobby, go ahead and skate. And once they get to know you, and some of the kids would come up and then we would talk and do something or whatever, and how do you like skating here? I said, oh, I love it. I says, you know, when I was a kid here, I used to skate over there. You see that little old house at Christie Pitts in the bottom? I says, yeah, that's where we used to skate, right on the outdoors. Well, he says, wasn't it cold? I says, no, change our skates in the snow, and the old guy there would put in a barrel, he'd put wood in the barrel and light it up, and that's how we keep warm because it was burning down there. And you never forget the past, but you can always look at the present. Really and truly.
You've done that so, both of you, so mm-hmm. In such a friendly way and so clearly and so eloquently.
We're always lucky because the area speaks for itself, put it that way.
But you speak well for the area.
Okay.
So Colleen and Bobby, I just want to say thank you very much. A pleasure for me.
And sorry about this morning, but he had a cancellation. They called and he was able to go. So
well, I'm glad you're feeling better. Oh, yeah, well enough for us to have a conversation.